Now, America is marking its semi-quincentennial, which is a fancy way of saying that it's got a very big birthday. It's 250 today. The United States didn't actually win their independence until 1781, following victory over the British at the Battle of Yorktown. But July the 4th commemorates the country's foundational text, the Declaration of Independence, penned mainly by Thomas Jefferson. There'll be a massive firework display on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., which is also the site of the Great American State Fair, which hasn't exactly been getting great crowds. I've been talking to a journalist who paid a visit, Alexandra Petri, a staff writer for The Atlantic. Alexandra Petri, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Oh, thank you for having me on Saturday Extra.
Alexandra, you attended the Great American State Fair on the National Mall there in Washington, D.C. And tell us, first of all, about your choice of drink.
Well, I saw that they had something called Form Energy Screamin' Freedom, and I thought it was only $1 more expensive than regular soda, and I, for just an additional dollar, I thought I wanted to know what freedom really tasted like. So,
and what did it taste like? It sounds grim.
It tasted like a melted popsicle, one of those red, white, and blue popsicles that are a fixture of American summers. So it had several flavors that didn't really go together, and it was not good warm. I spent the whole day drinking it. It was sort of a Sisyphean project. I would take a sip and I would think, maybe it's done now, and it wouldn't be done. And yes, it was fully screaming freedom, and the drink lady said that it emphasized screaming because it contained double the caffeine of a Red Bull. So I felt that I had the proper mindset to go into this Great American States Fair experience.
Fantastic. And you probably haven't slept since. Give us the flavor of the other exhibits at this Great American State Fair.
Well, there's a little something of everything, except for, I would say, crowds. You really had sort of a nice opportunity to have a pleasant, intimate experience on the National Mall. You could see a James Madison impersonator giving a speech and then sort of apologizing that he wasn't Thomas Jefferson, which was funny because people just said, well, why, James Madison, are you talking so much about Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence? You're the father of the Constitution. Why not talk about yourself? And he said, well, it's not my occasion. And I'm like, could they not get Jefferson? Because I know previous performers had dropped out of the Great American State Fair. They were supposed to have Milli Vanilli, I think. And so my thought was that maybe Jefferson also dropped out along with Milli Vanilli, and they had to settle for, you know, number four.
And some of the musical choices, I know, struck you as rather sort of discordant.
I will say there was a lot of ABBA, famously patriotic act. They'd have, occasionally you'd have Miley Cyrus and Party in the USA or Katy Perry, Firework, which felt more thematically appropriate. But yet a lot of ABBA, a ton of Elton John. Picture the James Madison impersonator that I was just describing, like fighting to be heard over Tiny Dancer. And you get sort of a sense in standing in like an open field with six or eight people, and Tiny Dancer is blasting and James Madison is apologizing for being there. And that's sort of the general energy that you could experience. Or down at the other end, there was Dr. Oz talking about how he always traveled with nuts in his pockets because they're tiny baby trees. So just a little bit of something for everyone, at least on Maha Day, which is the day that I went.
And Dr. Oz, of course, is a guy who used to pop up on Oprah, who is now a very senior health official in the Trump administration. And I understand also at the State Fair, there is a mock-up of the grand ceremonial arch that Trump wants to build alongside the Potomac, which has been called the Arc de Trump.
There was. It looked smaller in person, like so many celebrities. And from the Ferris wheel, you could actually see that the top was sort of missing some pieces, but like it wasn't fully draped. You could see the inside, and the inside was hollow. And that was symbolism. I don't know. But it was, yeah, it was underwhelming in person. And one of those things I would describe as technically three-dimensional, which I feel like is not the resounding architectural critique you want to receive for a massive triumphant arch. I do think sometimes less is more, and sometimes less is a bizarre arch.
And presumably there are alternative tourist attractions right now on the National Mall. And I'm thinking of the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the great emancipator, the brooding statue of him, peering down at a pool right now that is still green.
You know, I think they put up so much fencing around it. I can't say if it's still green. I think when I visited, which was a little while ago, it was ceasing to be green, but they were pumping nano bubbles into it to try to knock off the algae. Because everyone seems to think that by painting it the patriotic color of American flag blue, that seems to have really excited the algae by making it warmer for them, and they love it that way. And so basically there have been many problems with it before, and if you had made a list of how can you fix this problem, you would have many things on that list. But one thing that would not have been on that list would be painting it American flag blue. No one would have been like, that will help. But of course, that was what the president wanted to do. And so that's what wound up happening.
Yes, this was that big renovation project, which has backfired. Now, Alexandra, it's a sign of America's divisions right now that on this big birthday, there's actually not even agreement over who should organize the party. Congress set up this America 50 bipartisan committee. Trump, when he returned to the White House, set up a rival committee, Freedom 250. How have those rivalries played out? How have they affected how July the 4th is going to be celebrated?
It seems as though Freedom 250 is, to borrow a statement from There Will Be Blood, a classic American film, is sort of drinking the milkshake of America 250, because a lot of the oxygen for all of the events that are happening has gone to Freedom 250 events. Like, I think when they were initially planning this years ago and sort of a let's bring the country together to celebrate kind of bipartisan way, they weren't picturing, let's have a UFC fight on the White House lawn. But Freedom 250, that was one of their things that they were really excited about. And so I think if you see an event and you think, is this celebrating the 250th birthday of America? And then there's a giant one man's face has been stamped onto everything at that event, then you can think that's probably Freedom 250, not America 250. I think there's got to be a mnemonic device for that, but I'm working on it.
And how will Donald Trump himself celebrate July the 4th?
Well, he's promised to give as long a speech as he can in the 107-degree heat, because he says he can do anything, and he wants to prove it by giving a really long speech in 107-degree heat. You know, I think if he wants to show that he can do things he's never done before, he should give a really short speech, because I've seen many public events where he's spoken, and like a tight 10 minutes, that would be a real departure and very striking. But the fireworks themselves are going to be 40 minutes and like 860,000, I think, fireworks in the course of that time, which is going to beat a record set in the Philippines about a decade ago.
Maybe he should take a leaf out of Abraham Lincoln's book. The Gettysburg Address was just 2 minutes long. I don't think we'll get that kind of brevity from Donald Trump. Just finally, I mean, it does seem very much centered upon him.
Well, it's not his fault that his birthday coincides with all of this, and in fact precedes it. Really, when the founders, in their infinite wisdom, created this country, I'm sure what they had in mind was that it would be the birthday of one individual man. And because as we know from all of their founding documents, what they really liked was when one individual man was telling them what to do and transporting people to far shores without due process and doing all kinds of stuff like that. They wrote some documents, I think, saying that they approved of it. I'm not sure. James Madison didn't exactly explain what the document said.
Alexandra Petri, thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra. And happy July the 4th yourself.
Oh, yes. Same to you.
That was Alexandra Petri of The Atlantic. She mentioned MAHA Day there. MAHA stands, of course, for Make America Healthy Again. And the fair was actually shut down temporarily overnight because of soaring temperatures in Washington, D.C. Not a case of raining on the parade, but frying the parade. Donald Trump, of course, thinks climate change is a hoax. Now, we often hear from Washington, but not so much from the American heartland, middle America, or normal America, I suppose you could call it. Well, we thought we should hear from the most normal small town in the United States. It's actually called Normal. Normal, Illinois. It's located on Route 66. You can't get any more American than that. And Chris Coos, a Democrat, is its mayor. Mayor Coos, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Oh, always glad to talk about my community.
Mayor, America, to so many people watching from afar, looks pretty abnormal at the moment. So how normal is normal Illinois?
Well, it's not as normal as you would think. It's actually a pretty vibrant community. There's a lot happening in my community.
And do you see the sort of tensions in your community in Normal that you do elsewhere in the States? Or do the sense of disunion that we see by focusing on Washington, is that the same in the American heartland?
There's parts of that in the American heartland, but I wouldn't say it's as amplified as you might see in larger cities or, you know, in your daily newspaper or your podcast or whatever. There tends to be differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, people tend to get along pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. One thing that's always struck me about whenever I traveled into heartland communities like Normal, Illinois, or the Rust Belt, you know, people weren't on their phones all the time. They didn't really know what Donald Trump was up to minute, hour to hour, even day to day. Is there a sense of the chaos that we see in Washington often, a kind of misrepresentation of the country as a whole?
I think there is. There are people that are kind of upset, unsure of where we're headed as a country. I think that's the biggest concern, that there's just a sense of uncertainty on where we're going and on what the outcome is going to be. You know, is this strategic or is this just fly-by-night, day-to-day politics? It's really hard for people to digest. You know, and this was a very strong Republican community for years, and it's really kind of moved purple. What I would call a normal Bloomington or a McLean County Republican, they feel like they're kind of lost right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Purple, of course, a mix of the red and the blue, the red being mm-hmm. for Republicans and the blue being for Democrats. Tell us about Normal, Illinois. Is it kind of Norman Rockwell America? Is it the kind of America that we tend to romanticize, the sort of Frank Capra version of the state?
You know, I think there's some elements of that. The comment that we get from people that come here from other parts of the country or from other countries, the very common comment is, everybody's so darn nice here.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, America seems to be so angry right now in so many ways. But what you see in Normal, Illinois is something different. You see a kind of a civility still in daily life.
Yes, absolutely do. We absolutely do. And there are people with strong opinions, but they'll exchange on those opinions, but they tend not to hold a grudge from it, if you know what I mean.
And your perspective is really interesting because you're actually a veteran of the Vietnam War. You know what division in America feels and looks like because that war was so very divisive, wasn't it? I mean, in your lifetime experience, how does the disunion that we see now compare with the disunion that we've seen in past days?
You know, for me, it was that period in the 70s. I actually didn't see it because I was in the military and I was overseas. But I did notice it when I came back. And people that were friends of mine had changed dramatically. And I probably had too, of course. And there does seem to be that kind of divisiveness right now, if you would. You know, I have friends, I have a friend whose brother is a very strong Trump supporter. He's very left. And he said, we just don't talk about that. And they get along famously.
That's interesting, isn't it? It raises the kind of Thanksgiving dilemma that a lot of families have in America between people who are Trump fans and people who hate Donald Trump. You know, those sort of conversations often become quite angry, or those conversations, as you say, don't take place at all. It's almost like the president is a taboo. How is your community celebrating July the 4th? What's in store in Normal, Illinois?
We have a lot of events going on. Of course, we have our 4th of July fireworks, and they'll be quite a bit more exciting, a higher wow factor because of the 250th anniversary. We'll be doing a drone show. There are a lot of groups that will... service groups and that are putting on events. So there'll be quite a bit of celebration. But it's interesting, and I'm going to be interested to see how this happens. There are these neighborhoods that have, for years, have had these 4th of July parades, and the kids get out with their bikes and their wagons and decorate them, and they have a parade in the neighborhood. And I think it's going to be quite interesting this year. And I'm actually on July 2nd, will be in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia mayor is putting on an event and invited mayors. The Declaration of Independence was actually adopted on July 2nd, and so we're going to meet in Philadelphia, and we'll march to Independence Hall, where the Declaration was signed.
John Adams, the country's second president, always thought that July the 2nd would be the national day, didn't he? Although, rather curiously, on the 50th anniversary of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, he died, didn't he? And so too did Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. This was seen as a great act of God's providence, that America was uniquely blessed. On this July the 4th, what in particular are you celebrating?
I think I'm celebrating our core values. They're still there. You know, they're being challenged. But the people that I know, the people I see, even regardless of their political alignment, unless they're extremely on one side or the other, still hold those values. And I think hopefully that's going to ground people a little bit and say, this is who we are. This is where we came from. This is what we stand for. So that's what I'm hoping for.
And Mayor, one of the reasons we came to you is because over the years, so many foreign correspondents have descended upon normal Illinois to try and find the true America. Is that something that the community welcomes, or do they go, oh, no, it's not another foreign film crew pitching up?
No, we love it. We actually love it. And being in a town called Normal, Illinois, you can have a lot of fun with that. I used to carry a $50 bill around in my pocket, and when people would start, I'd pull it out and say, it's yours if you can tell me a joke I haven't heard.
And what's the best joke about Normal, Illinois?
The best one I heard came from a woman in Nova Scotia, because there was an AP story about that thing that I do. And she said, we're home for Illinois State University. It's a pretty large university, about 21,000 people. And she said, if there are two graduate students living in a basement apartment in Normal, is that 2 degrees below normal?
That's a good joke. That is a good joke.
Yes, it is.
Chris Coos, the mayor of Normal, Illinois, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra, and happy July the 4th.
Well, thank you. Thank you for reaching out.
That was Chris Coos, the mayor of Normal, Illinois, who we spoke to in the run-up to July the 4th. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that the perfect guest for America's 250th birthday would be the singer Dolly Parton, one of the few public figures in America who seems universally adored. So began a campaign to get her on the show. Well, the Saturday Extra team tried their damnedest to get Dolly on, but alas, the closest we got was this very kind reply from the Dollywood Foundation. Thank you so much for reaching out. We truly appreciate you thinking of her for this 250-year opportunity. Unfortunately, due to her schedule, Dolly will not be able to participate. She sends her warm regards and sincere apologies. We wish you all the very best and much success with the show. What an elegant way of saying no. So plan B. You might remember we covered the musical last year about Dolly Parton, Here You Come Again. And we interviewed the actress Trisha Paluccio, who played Dolly on stage. And we thought she could revive that role today on Saturday Extra. Trisha, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Now, listen, there's only one Dolly, so I'm a very, very, very far second, but I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, you're the perfect Dolly Parton body double. There's no doubt about it.
Okay,
thanks for performing that role today. I mean, it is such a deeply divided time in America, and yet Dolly Parton does seem to transcend those divisions. What is it about Dolly that brings America together?
You know, I just think she's just always operated from such a place of love and kindness towards everybody. And she's really down to earth and honest. And I think we love her story. I mean, she's really the epitome of the American dream, right? I mean, she is the rags to riches. You can make yourself anything. You know, that's what this country promises. And she really lived it. And we just love her. And yeah, I don't know one person that doesn't love Dolly Parton. And she's just done it right. You know, has she ever offended anybody? Has she ever said something to hurt someone's feelings? If she does, I feel she apologizes. She's very human, you know? She just really operates from love and kindness. And I think that's why we just all adore her.
She operates from love and kindness. Maybe that is the way to bring America together. You're in New York City, aren't you? How are you going to be celebrating July the 4th?
I sure am. Well, I won a lottery for my city where I can go down to the South Street Seaport and watch the fireworks. I also live within walking distance of the Hudson River. So I think we're going to walk over there and watch the tall ships. You know, the ships have been coming from all over to go up our Hudson River. And then a block away, we have a traditional little neighborhood block party, which is a very American thing to do. You know, we all go outside and barbecue and in the street. And although it's blistering hot here, you know, I don't know how much we'll survive this heat tomorrow. But it's going to be fun to be in America on the 250th, you know? I mean, this is a special time, so.
Wow, what a vantage point as well. You're going to get Brooklyn Bridge as your backdrop for the fireworks.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Brilliant.
So I'm excited. But I wanted to say something about patriotism that I really was so moved by in your country that whenever we would do a fundraiser at the end of the show, Kelly, my understudy, Kelly Rode, she would say, our beautiful country, Australia. And the whole audience was beaming with pride. And I really long for that for our country. You know, I don't think an American actor could stand on the stage and say, our beautiful country, America, and we're so divided right now. And I long for a time when our country can feel as proud, unabashedly proud about America as you all do for Australia. I just want you to know, I was really moved by that, your patriotism. And I'm a very patriotic person. I just mean, on the whole, our country is just going through a tough time right now, you know? And so I hope we can come back together and feel proud about what essentially is beautiful about America, you know? Because it is a beautiful country.
It is a beautiful country. America the beautiful. Know, one thing that brings really the country together is the national anthem. And Tricia, we've actually got you to sing that for us, to play out of the program. It has been just so lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining
you. You're so welcome.
We're going to play the national anthem now, which you recorded earlier. Okay. Let's hear you sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Wow. That was Tricia Pelluccio with a beautiful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, America's national anthem on its 250th birthday, performed in the manner of the great Dolly Parton, one of my favorite Americans. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks to the Saturday Extra team, executive producer Belinda Summer, Nicole Kirby, Nick Baker, and studio engineer Hamish Camilleri. Rear Vision is up next with a look at Australia's dependency on the Middle East for fertilizer. I'm Nick Bryan. It is Saturday morning in Australia, a painful one, alas, for the Socceroos. Have a great weekend.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.